We are so blessed to be a part of a ministry called Encounter Freedom. It is the mission of the ministry of Encounter Freedom to cover the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Wherever God opens the door, we want to declare and proclaim the gospel of Jesus that sets men and women free. And we believe that it is the desire of every person to encounter freedom by, number one, by encountering Jesus Christ. How many believe that? Jesus said that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In other words, when Jesus touches and transforms, that there is truly a transformation. There is real freedom that lasts because it comes from God, Jesus Christ. And so we believe that in order to encounter freedom, you need to encounter Jesus. We believe that every person can encounter freedom by knowing the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, he said that if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And then when you abide in this word, you will know the truth, and this truth will set you free. Because the truth combats lies that the enemy tries to lie against your mind and your heart and your life. Amen? And so the truth will set you free. And so we believe that we need to proclaim the truth of the Word of God that people will encounter and experience freedom. And thirdly, we believe that every person will encounter freedom by experiencing the real presence of God, the Holy Spirit. Because as we sang, the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is freedom. Chains break, bodies heal, minds are set free in right thinking, people are saved and come to know Jesus Christ where the presence of the Spirit of the Lord is. Isn't that wonderful? And so that's what we're all about. And so we preach in churches. We had a crusade in Scranton. We are in the planning stages of more crusades and partnering with churches. And we have evangelism training. And so I just want to direct you guys to, we have a ministry table, just like, right? Who doesn't have a ministry table that comes to visit, right? I want to encourage you. 2 years ago, the Lord, by his great grace, allowed me to write a book. It's a devotional, 40-day devotional called 40 Days to Freedom. And it basically talks about worship. It talks about obedience, talks about the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and all scriptural principles in 40 days. And you say, I had a person once say, boy, 40 days, that's a long time. I said, well, hopefully your time with the Lord is longer than 40 days. So this is just a 40-day snapshot of your life for a season that it will help draw you closer. So if you desire to purchase a book, we have that. But also a couple things I want you to sign up, then we'll get into the Word. One of the things, we could visit encounterfreedom.org, and there have information about the ministry. We also have a bi-monthly newsletter on our website. You could visit the newsletter on the website. We just came out with the March and April edition. And so you go on our website, visit it. But if you desire to get some email just to remind you that our new edition newsletter is on the website, there's a sign up at our table. Also, another thing that we're doing that we ask as we travel around churches is if you feel led of the Lord, and he may speak to you this morning, tonight, and if not, listen, don't feel bad, it's okay, but if you really feel the Holy Spirit leading you to say, you know what, I want to commit a day to pray for the ministry of Encounter Freedom, how many know that we need prayer, amen? And so if you really feel led to do that, we have people and congregations all over where we travel sign up. We have a large list of intercessors that we will email you news and email you different needs that we have in the ministry for you to intercede and pray. You pick a day of the week. It doesn't mean you have to sit down, take work off, and pray all day for the ministry. It could be a one-minute prayer, but as long as you pray for Encounter Freedom, you pick, say, a Tuesday. On every Tuesday, I'm going to pray for this ministry. But after you pray for Encounter Freedom, this is what happens. You pray for our ministry, and you remember that we have been here at the church, and then you pray for your pastor and the pastoral staff and the leaders of your church. And so it's really important that we become people that intercede, not only for ministries, but for the local church that you actually attend and are fed the Word of God. Amen? And so just visit our table. You could ask questions afterwards. That'll be wonderful. How many want to get into the Word of God this morning? Amen? Well, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I believe a word that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I was asking the Lord, seeking His face, and saying, God, what do you want to say? What do you want to speak? How do you want to minister to these precious people here at Calvary? And I believe that this is the word that he desires. How many in your life have ever been overwhelmed? Raise your hand. You say, really? You're looking at me, of course I'm overwhelmed. Maybe you're overwhelmed today. Maybe you're sitting here in church and you feel an overwhelming feeling in your life. There's something going on in your life. You're experiencing something that's tough. There's some tough circumstances in your family. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you lost a loved one this past year and you feel overwhelmed with life. You feel overwhelmed with grief. Maybe today you have some type of physical ailment or a disease in your body. Maybe it's a new news that you got and you're scared, you're fearful. Maybe you're anxious about what's going on in your community or around the world. You turn on the news and you're just like, man, I have so much more fear and anxiety. There's so many things going on all at once. It seems like the world's about to explode and I don't have peace. And that overwhelming feeling, we've all had that in our lives. It might be a financial thing in your life that you're struggling with. It could be some type of struggle that you have, maybe an addiction, or maybe there's just a temptation that you're trying to fight. You're a loved son or daughter of God. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus. You know you're going to heaven, but man, you feel like, I just can't overcome this. I'm always tempted and pulled in this specific way in my life, and it overwhelms me. And perhaps today, you're overwhelmed with guilt, and you're overwhelmed with shame, and you don't feel like you could go on in life because just feel like the word overwhelmed literally feels like you're drowning. Do you ever feel like that? It's like a flood that is greater than you, bigger than you, stronger than you. You can't understand how to get out. You can't defeat. You can't conquer. And you really just feel like everything is, here's the image that I had as I prayed for the people here. I don't know who you are, but God does. But it feels like you're getting pressed down. You're getting pushed down. Do you ever feel like that in life? You're like, man, I really want to move forward with joy. I really want to move forward in peace. I really want to overcome something in my life. I really want to be used of the Lord and feel free to be used of the Lord. So all these things, and how many understand that we have an enemy out there over your life and my life? That we really don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Even though you might have the argument, even though there might be people that can't stand you, you're really not fighting against flesh and blood. But the Bible says that we fight against principalities and powers, right? Evil forces, demonic realm, right? And we know that the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, 8, that the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. The literal word in the original language, Greek language of devour, literally means that the devil is roaring lion, seeking whom he may swallow, gulp down, engulf, submerge, destroy, and overwhelm. So how many know here today that we have an enemy in life that is wanting to overwhelm our life? He wants to defeat us. He wants us to keep us stuck. He wants us to have no joy, no power. He wants us weak. He wants us completely useless and ineffective, and he loves it. And how many know here today that the devil hates you? Did you know that the devil hates you? But listen, that is good news, because the devil hates anyone or anything that God loves. And so if the devil hates you, that means that God is madly in love with you and loves you so much. Because the devil despises anything that's good that comes from God. And you come from God, and God loves you. He created you, and he died for you. And so we must understand that we have an enemy, and we feel overwhelmed in life. And many times, we feel overwhelmed in life, number one, because of the things that we do to ourselves. Isn't that true? Come on, raise your hand. You've made dumb decisions. You've made sinful decisions. You've made unwise decisions. And because of that, we're paying consequences, and we're overwhelmed by those things. Sometimes it's just things that others do to you. You're not asking for it, that they do it to you. You feel overwhelmed. Or sometimes there's just circumstances in life that happen. How many has ever felt like a point in your life that someone just like sucker punched you? And you're like, man, I was just walking, minding my own business, and all of a sudden, life hits you, right? Jesus, that he said, in this world, you're going to have what? Trouble and tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. And why does he say to be of good cheer? We could have good cheer because Jesus says that I have overcome the world. How many know here today that Jesus, even this morning, wants to overwhelm the things that are trying to overwhelm you? and that we could find hope in him, and we could find hope in his truth that we're going to look at here today, that he is longing to overwhelm the things that overwhelm you. I'm so thankful that Jesus said that he came to overcome the world. In other words, that he said that you could have good cheer even during those circumstances, even during the hard times, even those things that are seeking to overwhelm and defeat you and to conquer you and to keep you down, even when the enemy comes to attack you, he said, you could be of good cheer because I have overcome, I have subdued, I have conquered, and I have prevailed over those things that come against you. And so this morning, you could walk away from this place in the presence of God, completely changed and no longer overwhelmed by those things that overwhelm your life. And yes, God desires to overwhelm those things and do the miraculous, but I believe that he longs to set you free even during those things. So that even during the trouble and the tribulation and the problems and the things that feel like are pressing you in life, that you could rise up and you could conquer those things, even when you don't see even the manifestation of that prayer being answered yet, even during that hard time, even during that temptation, you could overwhelm that which is seeking to overwhelm you. And the devil doesn't have the power over you. It's so amazing, isn't it? And so let's look at 1 Samuel 17. What's going on here? How many has ever read about David and Goliath before? Raise your hand. Come on. Now we know that Israel was overwhelmed at this moment. Israel was overwhelmed. They were at war with the Philistines, and the Philistines were encamped on a mountainside. Israel was encamped on the other mountain, and in the middle was the valley. And in that middle of the valley, there was a champion, and his name was Goliath. Remember Goliath? Goliath was the giant, and he was the man that was taunting the armies of Israel. And the Bible says that when Goliath would taunt the armies of Israel, curse them by his gods, and he said, choose any man that would be willing to fight against me, and if that man would fight against me, and if the man would overcome me, then the Philistines, we would be your servants. But if I overcome that man, if I overcome the one that comes against me, and that person overcomes and annihilates me, then you will be our servants. If I win, you will be my servants. And Goliath was overwhelming. How many know that? He was a giant. Did you know that Goliath was over 9 feet tall? Now, how many follow basketball? Raise your hand. Anyone here follow any NBA at all? Anybody? All right, I do a little bit. I'm not like a diehard fan, right? But I come from the Philadelphia area, and one of the teammates that's on the Philadelphia 76ers, his name's Joel Embiid. Anyone ever hear of and he's over 7 feet. He's like 7'2", I believe. And I mean, you're watching him on TV, it just looks like he dominates. I mean, talk about overwhelming. He's huge. Now, when I think about Joel Embiid playing basketball and these large basketball players, they're giants, right? I mean, they do all kinds of things on the basketball court. Joel Embiid would be the little brother of Goliath. Because Goliath was over 9 feet tall, close to 10 feet. He was mammoth. And he wasn't just a tall, lanky guy. He was a trained man of war. He was trained to intimidate, trained to overcome, trained to defeat, trained to bring fear into the people's lives, into people's hearts. And so he had a coat of armor that weighed 125 pounds. His spearhead weighed 15 pounds. Anyone ever bowl? Any bowlers around here? What's a bowling ball? 8 pounds? 7, 8, 9 pounds? 12? All right. And we're like, yeah, okay, yeah. You know, we're trying to muscle that bowling ball down the bowling alley. The spearhead was 15 pounds. And so we know that Goliath, when he taunted the armies of Israel, he defied them and said, I challenge anyone to come and fight me. I challenge anyone. I will destroy them. And we know that he was a destroyer. We know he was a conqueror. We know that he had power. Why? Because he was called a champion. And look at what happened with the Israelites. Look at what happened when they saw him. Look at verse 11. 1 Samuel 17:11. When Saul and all Israel heard, everyone say heard. heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. So Goliath was spouting his stuff out, and they heard him. They heard the words that were coming to him. They listened to those words. And when they listened to the enemy's words, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. Look at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, it says all of them, every single one of them, when they heard, look at all the men of Israel, when they saw, everyone say saw, they saw the man, what did they do? They fled from him and they were dreadfully afraid. So here are these men of war, when they saw the intimidating, huge champion of war threatening, saying, I dare anyone to come and fight me. They were, listen, when they heard his words, they were greatly afraid and they were dismayed and discouraged. But when they saw him, they understood how fearful he was. And the Bible says that they were dreadfully afraid, so much so that they ran away from Goliath. So when they saw Goliath and they heard Goliath, they ran away. They were overwhelmed, wouldn't you say? And they ran away from that which was in front of them that was overwhelming them. And instead of facing that which was overwhelming, they were running away. And by the way, when you run away from those things that are overwhelming, and sometimes we run away by truly trying to run away, trying to find this over here and trying to have a relationship here and trying to fill our void in this over here. When we try to run away, first of all, the thing that's overwhelming us does not go away. But the Goliath stayed when they ran. He didn't move. He didn't run away. He didn't. He was there. They ran away. They were dreadfully afraid. And the other thing is, not only does that which is overcoming us and overwhelming stay when we're running, but when we run and we do other things, the problem remains and we also gain more problems. And there are more consequences in our lives when we run away from the things and try to fill the void, try to say, I need to escape this pain, escape this hurt, escape this rejection. I need to escape these memories, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. We find ourselves compromising. We find ourselves in sin. We find ourselves going away from God. We find ourselves not being among the saints of God anymore. And what happens is we begin to run, and worse things happen. And that which first overwhelmed us is still there, and now we have more things that we're overwhelmed with that God never intended for us to experience. And so here is the Israelites. They are, here they are. They're fleeing. They're dreadfully afraid. And by the way, we need to be careful what we listen to and what we see. Because what we listen to and what we see will overwhelm our lives. How many know that? And so here it was. And so they were running away. The problem was still there. The Philistines were still encamped on the mountain. Israelites were going nowhere. They were overwhelmed. They were scared. They were discouraged. David comes along. David's dad said, hey, listen, I want you to check up, long story short, I want you to check up on your brothers, see how they're doing in the war, how they're doing in battle. I just want to know what's going on with my sons, right? And so he goes, and as David went to visit his brothers, all of a sudden, the Bible talks about how David began to hear the same taunts, the same things that the Goliath was saying to the Israelites. They're saying to Israel. Isn't that amazing? And so when David heard, he's walking up and visiting his brothers, and he heard Goliath spew and threaten and tell them, hey, I want you to raise up a champion to fight me. When David heard the news, he was not afraid. David was actually like, huh. The Bible says that he didn't run away, that he wasn't dismayed, he wasn't discouraged. In fact, he told King Saul, listen, he said, who is this man that's saying this to us? He's saying, I want to go against him. And so it's amazing that all the men of Israel were dreadfully afraid, and David, this young boy, this young man, comes and he hears the taunting of Goliath. He saw that which overwhelmed Israel, and instead of running, he wanted to combat that which was overwhelming. How many here today want to learn what David did to combat in your life those things that overwhelm you? Amen? We want to do that. And whether those, I want to share three things with you that David did. There's more things. The Holy Spirit will show you a lot more than what these are. There's so many things that we could get from this. But I really believe there are three things that God wants to speak to us this morning. Ready? Number one, what did David do that we need to do? Number one, David, in the midst of that which was overwhelming, in the middle of Goliath, David remembered. David remembered. Let's look at verses 33 to 37 for a moment. So David said, I'm going to go fight this Philistine. And King Saul was like, look at verse 33. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. And so we see why King Saul was already overwhelmed, because he was not looking through the eyes of God, which we're going to see in a moment, but he was actually looking at Goliath through natural eyes. He saw things from his own perspective. He saw Goliath being greater than David, of course. He saw David smaller than Goliath. He understood that Goliath was a man of war, and he began to discourage David from fighting that which was overwhelming, because after all, King Saul ran away. King Saul was a king. I mean, he had great battles. He was able to overcome. But Goliath is a different story. This is a different trial. This is a different circumstance. This is a different season. So there's no way that David would be able to overcome Goliath. But look at what David said in verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from the mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord, he delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David after that, go, and the Lord be with you. What did David do, and what did the men of Israel not do? Well, let me tell you something. King Saul and the men of Israel, in the middle of them being overwhelmed by the giant that was overwhelming them, they forgot who God was. They forgot that God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They forgot that God rescued the children of Israel out of the slavery, out of the hand of Egypt, by mighty hands and by mighty plagues and mighty miracles. They forgot that who God was, that he was the creator of the universe. They forgot who he was. In that moment, I'm telling you right now, it is in the moment of being overwhelmed that the enemy blinds us to the greatness and the power of God. He is, because many times those things that are in our life that we're over, listen, I'm not, and God, he is not putting you down here today. He understands why these things are overwhelming. He understands, because he knows these things that are overwhelming that we go through in life are bigger than us. They are stronger than us. We don't know how to overcome these things. Amen? But the men of Israel, they forgot who God was. They didn't remember. But David, when he saw Goliath and heard his spews and saw how big he was, and he knew what he was like compared to Goliath. But what David did is he remembered the works of God in his past. And what God wants you to remember when you're going through something right now, you feel overwhelmed, God wants you, number one, to remind yourself in the Word of God, in the truth of God, that he is the same yesterday and today and forever, that God doesn't change. Your circumstances change. Your seasons change. The things you go through change. But I'm telling you, we serve a God, he has never changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many believe that here today? You know, we believe the Jesus that walked the earth. We know that he fed the 5,000. We know he maimed the lame. He know that he healed the deaf and the blind and the mute. And we know that he raised Lazarus from the grave. We know that he walked on water. We thank him. Jesus, thank you that you're the awesome God. We believe it. And we know that he's the same forever. We know that he's on the right hand of the throne of God. We know that Jesus Christ has all power and authority. We know that. But do we put the forever and the yesterday, do we equate Jesus for the same today? Because many times believers forget that the same God of forever that who's coming back for us and the same Jesus that is in the Gospels that we believe are all true, we forget that he's actually the same right now. And so he's unchanging. We need to remember the work of God in the Word of God. And that's why the Bible tells us to let the Word of God to dwell in us richly. Amen? It's because we get to know the character of God. We get to know him. We get to fellowship with him. We get to see his power. We get to know his love. We understand the miracles that he has. And we get to understand that God is the same God. And then not only do we have to remember who God is in the Word, but boy, we need to remember the miracles that he did in our lives. That God fed me yesterday. That God supplied my needs this day. I remember when God supplied my needs. I remember when God healed me back here. I remember when God led me back here. I remember when God saved me back here. When he came to me back here. When he forgave me over here. I remember the works of God personally in my life. And if God did it for me yesterday, he does it today. Because he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He hasn't moved. That's why he's a rock. He's a firm foundation. And so David, when he said to King Saul, I'm going to be able to overcome Goliath, the reason is it's not because he looked at himself. It's because he remembered the hand of God when he was a shepherd. That God was able to deliver me from the lion and the bear, and this is just the same thing. Different format, different context, different place, different time, but my God is not different. He hasn't changed. He hasn't moved. He's a faithful God. David understood and he remembered. How many know here today, God longs for us to know and to remember what God has done in our life? How many are forgetful? Raise your hand. Come on. I want to ask this. How many here for almost, you forgot where your keys were this morning coming to church? Anyone? Is there anyone? I was just curious. All right. Yes. Yes. All right. Listen to this. God writes in his word that we need to remember. Psalm 77:11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. Exodus 28. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Look at Psalm 63:6. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Psalm 119:55, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. Psalm 20:7, some trust in chariots and horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And remember, who did write many of the Psalms? David. He remembered. 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Deuteronomy 15:15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Deuteronomy 8:18, and you shall remember the Lord your God. It is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Luke 22:19, I love this, and we say this maybe on a monthly or more than that. Look at this. Do this. What was he say? Do this. That's why we do this. So that Jesus, he wants us to remember that on that cross, he disarmed every principality and power. That on that cross and through his blood, he forgave every sin. That on the cross, he redeemed every single person. Isn't that wonderful? That when we partake of communion, we are remembering. We are not forgetting. Jesus doesn't want us to forget. He knows we are forgetful. That's why he says all throughout Scripture, remember, 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 remembering what God did in the past, in his word, in our daily lives. It gives us the confidence for today's challenges. So the question is today, have you forgotten? Has the enemy made you forget who God is and what he has done in your life already? No matter what's overwhelming you, remember that God hasn't changed. 2, we need to come when things overwhelm us, when fear comes against us, anxiety comes against us, when we come and we have a physical ailment that Jesus died for on the cross, when we come and we have to understand that we must come not in our own power, because our own power is finite, our own power is weak, our own power only takes us so far, but may we get lost in the power and the majesty of God, and we do that by coming in the name of our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That when I come against those things that are coming against me, when fear tries to terrorize me, when fear tries to attack me to keep me paralyzed from doing what God wants to do, I don't come in my own name, I come in the name of Jesus. And look at what David in verse 45, when he said, when he came against Goliath, He said that David said to the Philistine, he says, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." You see, David understood that Goliath was definitely intimidating, that Goliath in the natural was overwhelming. And how many know here today, you have something in your life that's overwhelming, and naturally it seems impossible, doesn't it? It's impossible to do it on our own strength. It's impossible to overcome in our own strength. But David even said in Psalm 113:5, it says, "Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high?" You see, David, when he came against Goliath, he not only remembered the works of the Lord, but he knew who the Lord was and knew that the name of the Lord is who he needed to come against Goliath. He even stated to Goliath, he said, "Goliath, you come to me, look at, with your sword, spear, and javelin. You come to me with your expertise. You come to me with your title of being a champion." You know, I don't know what his record was. Maybe it was 35-0. I don't know. You know, but we know that David knew that he was the champion, that David wasn't. That he was bigger, that David was smaller. David was younger, this man was older. David was a shepherd, this man was a man of war. So he knew when he came against Goliath that Goliath was smarter in those areas. He was more aggressive. He was taller and bigger. He had more strength. He had more training. He had more education. And we could go on and on down the line. And so that's why the thing that was overwhelming Israel, the thing that was overwhelming all the men of Israel, and that was overwhelming even before David, David went against him and knew he could defeat him because he remembered in the past what God was, and God is faithful, he doesn't change, but he also knew the power of the Lord. Look at how he addresses the Lord in this verse. It says, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of what? The Lord of hosts." How many know here today that the God that you serve is the God who is the Lord of the hosts of the angelic armies? How many know that here today? How many know that the angelic forces are actually stronger than us, and the supernatural is stronger than us? In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, we could go all throughout Scripture, but in 2 Kings 19, 35, it's amazing to me as I looked at the power of the angelic forces that was one angel that was able to destroy the Assyrian soldiers. And it wasn't 10 soldiers. It wasn't 1 against 20. It wasn't 1 against even 100. How many know if you were to fight 100 men of war, it would be pretty impossible to defeat? But this angel was able to defeat 185,000 men of war in Assyria. The Assyrian army was absolutely defeated and destroyed by not an army, but by one angel. And when we think about the power of angels, we think about Elisha and the king of Syria being ticked off at Elijah because Elijah was understanding from God the plans of the king of Syria that was attacking Israel. And the king of Syria was like, "Who in the world is telling all these things to Israel? Because every time we make a plan, we make a scheme, they know in advance what's going on. Who is it in our camp that's spreading the news? Who's the spy?" And the servant said to the king, "It's the man of God. He knows what you're saying actually in your bedroom, because God is revealing the words that you say in order to protect Israel." And he got all ticked off, and he's like, "This is wrong. I'm going against him." And so what he brought is he brought so many horses and chariots to attack this man of God and surrounded the city. And they surrounded the city, and the servant Elisha said, "Oh, what in the world is going on?" And Elisha was like, "Don't fear." He said, "Those who are with us are more than are with them." And Elisha prayed this prayer to the Lord, to the servant. He said, "Lord, I pray that you open the eyes of my servant that he may see." And the Lord opened up the eyes of the servant, and all of a sudden the servant saw all around horses and chariots of fire surrounding the armies. Isn't that beautiful? May the Lord help us to see the God that we serve as a powerful God. And this is the name that we come. You see, David, when he came against Goliath, he knew, look at, listen, Goliath, I'm coming to you, and I might look ridiculous coming to you because you're, look at you. I mean, this is, you're greater than me. You're overwhelming in the natural, but in the supernatural, you are not even close to being overwhelming. Because compared to you, when I see you in the sight of who God is, I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come in the name of the Lord that has authority over all the angel armies. In fact, he's the creator of the universe. In fact, he is the Lord of the whole earth. And he is the one that I'm coming against you with. And when you and I, we come against things that are challenging us, we need to remember the power of the name of Jesus, the power of the Lord of hosts, that we need to come in his name when things overwhelm us. When fear tries to paralyze you, you come against it in the name of the Lord of hosts. When there's anxiety trying to suppress you and to push you down and to keep you stuck, you don't come in your name. You don't just try to work it out. Yes, there are tools. Yes, there is things for you to do. But yes, but you must have the name of the Lord in order for you to overcome the things. When you have that disease, there's no way that you could overcome your own disease. You listen, you come in the healer's name. You come in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord of hosts, that he is the one who is greater. He's the one who's bigger. And what I love about this is that not only does he come in the name of the Lord of hosts, but he says, the God of the armies of Israel. How many know here today that God is not just powerful, but he's very personal? That when David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, I'm not just coming to you in the name of a great God, the only true God, the awesome God, the almighty God, the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God. I'm not just coming to you in the name of the Lord of all the angelic armies, but I'm coming to you in the name of my God. My God. Church, he's a powerful God, but he's personal. He's so powerful and almighty, but he loves you. He's for you. He doesn't want you to suffer any more of those things that are overwhelming your life and trying to defeat you and to keep you down. He is your God. He is, listen, he's my God. It is the greatest name above every other name. It's the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess someday that he is Lord. He is an awesome and powerful God, and he is my God. And his name, we fight with his name. We worship his name. We love and adore his name. We prostrate our lives before his name, because it is his name that redeemed us. It's his name that died on the cross for us. It's his name that rose again from the grave for us. It's his name that intercedes for us. It's his name that is always with us. It's the beautiful name of Jesus. Listen, you can overcome and overwhelm that which overwhelms you because we have the precious name of Jesus. John 14:13 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, because I'm great and mighty and powerful, and I love you. We have seen, even through the ministry, the power of the name of Jesus. We were, a few months ago, we were at a church, and after church, we were talking about where we're going to go to lunch with the pastor, and the pastor's wife and the youth pastor's wife were in a room, and all of a sudden, we heard screaming. So a young man came out of the room, went to the pastor, said, Pastor, your wife needs your help. The pastor went, opened the door. My wife and I were still in the hallway just talking. And all of a sudden the pastor says, Matt, Karen, we need your help. There was a young woman that was completely, fully demon-possessed. And what happened was the pastor's wife, she pastored the church too with her husband, she recognized something in this girl, because the girl wanted counseling. Interesting that it was right after service. I mentioned earlier, a year ago, there was another young adult woman at the altar that we casted demons out of her, and she was having night frets and terrors, and she said that there was something in her house, something that was moving on her at night. And so she came up for prayer, and we prayed in the name of Jesus for that evil spirit to go, and she was set free. And so I mentioned how Jesus heals, how Jesus is able to save, and just loves you and wants to set you free in areas. And I mentioned that story real quick, not planning on it. And so what happened was that led her to talk in private with the pastor's wife. And so here she was, we walk into the room, me and the pastor, and Karen was out the door. She was praying, speaking in tongues. How many know you pray in tongues? Amen. And she was praying, interceding for us and for the girl. And so we're going, in the name of Jesus, we command you to leave her. And as soon as I said in the name of Jesus, two things happened with that demon that was manifesting in her. Number one, she was not in control of her body. The girl wanted to be free, but the demon was overcoming her. What was amazing is that face looked straight at me and started laughing and mocking me, which was not mocking me, but was trying to mock God. And so the pastor and I, we began to pray, and we were in the counseling room. And so what happened? The second thing that happened that we noticed is that the demon that was inside this girl, she had a different voice and everything, had great supernatural strength. We wanted to lay hands on her. We're laying hands on her in Jesus' name to cast that demon out. And here she was trying to pull a door with one arm. I was like this with two arms. He was with his arms trying to shut the door. She was pulling with one arm with no problem. And we had no strength. And I said, okay, yeah, I don't have physical strength. I know that. And so she went on the floor, started slithering like a snake, started crawling. And what happened, what was interesting, is that in the name of Jesus, that demon was freaking out. Because the demon was scared of Jesus. I saw such great fear because she was wanting to be free, and the demon was like, no. It began to say, no, no, no. And it wasn't us. It was the name of Jesus. All we did was the name of Jesus. We quoted the scripture about the blood of Jesus, and finally she was free, and she began to cry, and she said this. It brings tears to my eyes. She goes, it's finally gone. Is finally gone. How many know here today it's in the name of Jesus that he wants to set people free? That Jesus loves people? She's going to church and she's in the youth group and she's being discipled, and it's such a beautiful work of God in her life. She's changed and she's growing and she's so happy that she's no longer under torment. It's in the name of Jesus that there's power and authority. It's the name of Jesus that cast the demons out. It's like when Peter and John, Peter said in Acts chapter 3, he said, it's not by our own godliness or our power that the lame man walked. It is faith in the name of Jesus Christ. He's present, and he promises us, no matter what obstacle, no matter what's overwhelming, it's overwhelming in the natural to see, but I'll tell you something, in the Holy Spirit, it's like, what are you doing here? Get out. Because there's authority in the name of the Lord of hosts. Amen? And let me end with this. The last thing that David did is not only he came in the name of the Lord. How many know here today that the name of Jesus is powerful and awesome? That we need to come against those things that overwhelm you. You need to overwhelm some attacks and addictions and temptations that are coming against you. And you come in the name of Jesus. And the enemy fears and flees. Amen. Lastly, we need to believe. We need to have faith. Look at what David said. I love this. Verse 46. This day the Lord will, everyone say will, deliver you into my hand. And I will strike you. And I'm going to take your head from you. Wow. He wasn't shy, was he? But you see, David didn't come in his own strength. He already knew that he was a shepherd to sheep. He already knew he couldn't compare himself to Goliath. He already knew who he was without God, but he knew who he was with God. And so that's why he had faith, and that's why he believed. And that's why he declared to Goliath, I come to you in great confidence. And the things that overwhelm your life, you could have great confidence and faith and belief, not because it's you, but because you have the promise to remember who God is, and you know the name of the Lord of hosts. That he's not only powerful, but he is personal, that he's your God, and he wants to minister to you through his name, remembering that he never changes, his character never changes, his power never changes, who he says he is who he is. and that you serve the great I am. And so David knew who the Lord is. That's why he had the boldness to declare out loud to that which was overwhelming and basically saying, I'm going to destroy you in Jesus' name. Not in Jesus, but I'm going to destroy you in the name of the Lord. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth, why? Why am I going to do this? Because I know God's doing it, but why? Why is God going to do this? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So that people will know the one true God. Because God is a God of revelation. He reveals himself as Savior, as Lord, as Healer, as Majesty. He is the one who wants to reveal himself to people so that they could be set free. So that they may know who the Lord is. And so faith is understanding from God's perspective. I like to call faith and believing God. Faith is the eyesight of God. It's seeing things not through natural eyes, but it's seeing things through the lens of God himself. And what's a miracle to us is everyday life for God. It's not a miracle to God, it's a miracle to us. It's just that God is the one who performs it, and it freely flows out of his kingdom and his nature. And so when God completely does this work, overwhelming Goliath, it is amazing to me because we understand that David had faith in God. And the interesting thing that I really realize here is it's interesting that when at the time of being overwhelmed, when Goliath came on the scene, that David's faith didn't just come on the scene just like that. We know through Scripture that David was a man who was close with God, right? He was a man after what? He was a man of prayer. He was a man who sought the Lord. As a shepherd, he was the one who worshiped the Lord. How many know how important worship is to the Lord? When we worship him, we focus on him. And when we focus on him, our faith is built so that those things that seem overwhelming aren't as overwhelming anymore. Because our eyes are fixed on the one who is greater than anything. We are focused as we worship the Lord on the one who is greater than all. And so David understood, he had fellowship with God. And David, having fellowship with God, understood that God was a great shepherd. And just as David, as he said, yeah, listen, the Lord took care of me as I was taking care of the sheep. I delivered the sheep from the paw of the lion and the bear, and the same God who did that is going to do that now. I understand that God is a shepherd to me, and God is a shepherd to Israel. Remember Psalm 23? When he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the valley, Goliath was in the valley. You wonder when he penned those words, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I could tell you right now, David had no fear. He had great faith because he had great faith in his God. He had great faith in the character of God and who he was. And what happened in verse 50? This is how we close. The Bible says, look at verse 50. So David prevailed. Everyone say prevailed. Over the Philistine. How many want to prevail here today? You want to prevail over those things that are overwhelming you. You want that in your life? Can we just close our eyes for a moment? Let's close our eyes. What is it in your life here today? You're here. You're in this church. Listen, you've visited here. You don't know anything much about the Bible. You don't know a whole lot about anything else. But all you know is that, man, I am overwhelmed in life and I am in need. The Bible says that all of us have sinned. And since sin came into humanity and into our lives, the Bible says that we have been overwhelmed. The Bible says the wages or the cost of sin is death, spiritual death. The Bible talks in Revelation about a second death. It is an eternity in hell without God because we have sinned against a holy God, and holiness and sin can't mix. Amen? And so there was a Savior who loved us. His name is Jesus, who is God in the flesh. The Bible says he took our sin upon himself so that you and I would never have to face the consequences of sin. We would never have to face eternity in a hell without God, ever. He took our sin debt in full. He was nailed on the cross. His blood was shed on that cross. And as you could just see Jesus on that cross and that blood just pouring out of his body and screaming in agony and taking your sin and my fault and my sin on that cross, he took it so that you and I wouldn't have to pay the price. The wrath of God was on Jesus so that we could experience the life of God and we could have eternity with Jesus. And the good news is that he did that for us, and we can't work or earn our way to be holy or to get to heaven because we're not holy. We can't undo the things that we have done, but we can accept the one to forgive and to cleanse us and to make us new and to make us righteous. And if you're here today, I want to ask first and foremost, if you've never made that decision to accept Christ into your life, to by faith say, Jesus, I am a sinner, but I need your forgiveness. I receive you into my life. I need eternal life. I know I'm not headed there, but it's only through you I have eternal life. If that's you here today, can you just slip your hand and say, I've never accepted Christ before, and I want to do that now? Can you raise your hand? I don't know everyone here, but maybe it's you here today, and you want new life. Can you raise your hand? Is there anyone here? You say, I want to accept Jesus for the first time. All right, I see that hand. All right. Thank you, Lord. I want you guys, just pray this prayer to yourself. Everyone, just pray for the individuals that raised their hand. And just pray this. I want you to pray this prayer from your heart. For those of you who raised your hand and want to accept Christ for the first time, just say this in your heart to the Lord, even right now, who's with you, who's ready to save you. Just say, Jesus, I am a sinner. I have sinned. Man, I have done things that aren't right. And I'm sorry. And I know that you're a holy God. But I thank you that you're such a loving God. And today I believe that you died on that cross for me. I know you did for the world, but you did for me. You took my sin and my fault. And I ask you, even right now, to forgive me. Cleanse me. I repent of my sin. In other words, Jesus, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I need a Savior, and I know and I trust you to be my Savior. And so I ask you, Lord Jesus, save me even right now. I believe that you rose from the grave, that you're alive forevermore. And I confess that you are the Lord and Savior. And I ask you into my life, save me, I pray. I receive you by faith as my Savior. And I thank you even now for cleansing me, for washing me, for saving me, and for making me your child. Thank you that you have assured me eternal life in your name. Amen. Amen. Can we all say amen to that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? If you've accepted Jesus, you've become a child of God. You've been cleansed of your sin. You are a new creation in Christ. Is there someone on worship team that could come up? That'd be wonderful. I just want to allow time for anyone during this time. Can you just close your eyes for a moment? If you're overwhelmed with life, I want to call you out. I know it's a morning service, but I want to call just publicly and generally today. My wife and I want to pray over you and believe God, and we've seen God heal people, and we've seen God just do amazing things in life, and God loves you so much. No matter what you're overwhelmed with, there's something that you're overwhelmed. It might be an addiction that you're overwhelmed with. Today, you're overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Maybe today, you're just feeling down. You're just, man, I don't understand why, but I'm depressed, I'm down, and I need God to do something. I need him to overwhelm something here today, and I'm going to remember who God is. I'm going to come in his name, and I'm going to believe the nature and the word of God, even if I see and feel nothing different even right this second. And I want to come to the Lord the way I am. How many love that here today? That Jesus doesn't require you to fix it. He just requires and asks for you to come. And let him do the miracle in your life. Amen? So as we worship the Lord here today, if every eye closed here this morning, Let me ask you here today, you're overwhelmed, number one. You're overwhelmed. And today there's a disease or a sickness that you want God to heal you with. I want you to come to this altar. We're going to pray for a breakthrough and for healing in your life in the name of Jesus. If you're here today and you're overwhelmed and you're emotionally a wreck and you just feel like, man, I feel down and depressed, and you want that to lift off your life and you want a miracle of God in your heart, I just want you to come down even right now and we could begin to worship the Lord. As we begin to worship, as Pastor said, that verse, that God is enthroned in the praises of his people. As we worship him, as we focus on him, I believe there are things that God is wanting to break. There are chains that are wanting to be snapped. There is a woman that one service came up to us and said, I can't explain it. There is a freedom on the inside that I can't even explain, but I am different and free because of the presence of God. And we said, that is the Lord. Only he can do that. So if you're here today and you raised your hand in the beginning of service, says, I have a moment of being overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with life right now, and I need a touch from God. I want you to come on up and feel free and spend time in his presence.